Welcome to the No Fungi, No Future podcast. In these episodes, we interview experts in the field to gain a deeper understanding of the magical and mysterious networks of mycelia that are all around us, to learn how they impact our lives and the planet. In this episode, we have the third part of our interview with Scott May. Scott is the VP of Innovation at Givaudan and founder and head of Mista. In this episode, we talk further about Scott's vision for the future of food, including new technologies and why changing our food systems is critical for our life on this planet. You mentioned about the different sources of fats and some of the good new ways that this can be done. How does that impact the whole question of omega-3, omega-6, you know, that whole balance of fats?
Yeah, I mean, the cool part is that with these technologies, some of them are very tunable. And so you can produce oils that are that have, you know, high smoke point, for example. So they're really good in cooking. Mm-hmm. You can tune some of the fats and oil solutions to have higher levels of omega, for example. For more nutrition. So that's really, I think, the cool part of these technologies is that in many cases they are very tunable to produce the desired effect, whether it's a functional effect or a nutrition impact of the product. And but that goes for both fats and oils as well as proteins and fibers and more.
Yeah. Okay. And I also know that Givaudan is a very global company. I'm just curious, are there any countries or regions of the world that you find are sort of more in thinking along these lines, you know, in a more advanced way than others? Or,
I would say that it is the countries, at least what we're seeing is that the countries in the regions that are concerned about this notion of food security. So Singapore, for example, I think is one of the leading countries in pushing for this. You know, they have the country of Singapore has funds through, like, for example, through Temasek, who go out and invest heavily in these technologies because they know that, and, you know, if they don't do it, likely it won't happen. And so we're seeing funding from countries who are very concerned about this. The Middle East is also another region which is very concerned. And so, for example, in Saudi Arabia, they have an area called NEOM. And NEOM is literally building a city from scratch. And this city will be... will only have solutions for food. They're not gonna build big farms and things like that to grow cows and chickens. They're gonna build big capabilities to produce food through other means like fermentation or cellular ag, if and when that ever comes to fruition. So, you know, we see investments in governments and entities in this space who are very concerned about the food security because, you know, ultimately, if they can't feed their populations, you know, everything else is off the table, and it becomes very unstable.
Yeah. Questions I had: is there anything else that you wanted to share with everyone, like things that you're looking forward to in the next couple of years or working on that's exciting?
Well, stay tuned. I would say, and you know, I would say that we, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the failure of the plant-based movement. As with anything, you know, the emergence of new technologies typically follows an S-curve. And I think some people thought that, you know, that the plant-based movement would not follow that and would be this straight line into, you know, into amazingness. And you know, obviously it wasn't the case. And so we do need to continue to work really hard at identifying, supporting, nurturing some of these new technologies.
Yeah.
And it's only by working together can we truly do this. You know, startups In this space, they need support in order to be successful. You know, we've seen a huge drop off in the ability for early stage companies to raise money because investors are worried about the return. And so, you know, we need to continue to find ways to fund these amazing new solutions and technologies. And so, you know, I would say just pay attention to the opportunities. If you're able to be part of this movement, I would say jump in because it is going to continue to be exciting. I don't see this as a failure. I see this as the first step of a fairly long journey as we as we evolve the food system into something that that we need. And at the end of the day, this isn't a nice to do. It is a must do because, you know, as much as we say, well, you know, I don't really like that. You know, I'm just going to continue my old ways, my old habits. If we all do that, we're all going to end up in a really bad place. So, I'm pretty optimistic that that we will find the right way. We will create solutions that are that do meet consumer needs, but also meet the needs of the planet and everything on the planet. So, because you know we don't have a planet B, and we have to take care of what we have.
Yeah, as you were saying that, I was thinking about AI and how many decades of AI winter did we have, and people were like, this is never going to go anywhere, and look at the last few just year last or 2 years are suddenly taking off, and I think this is potentially even easier than AI because you're just talking about we're so close. You know, it feels like, you know, it's just that extra little mile of taste that we have to solve and a few other things. We're so close, you know.
We are so close. And you know, it is the food system is complex. It is challenging. So AI can evolve very quickly because you can share things through digital, through the computer and things like that. Yeah. Whereas food, you know, has to be grown, has to be made, has to be transformed. And then, you know, consumers have to adopt it. So, but speaking of that, you know, we also believe that AI will be a very important tool in some of these challenges. So I mentioned, you know, one of the challenges we have in the decentralized food system is how do you share information in these nodes that will exist across the world? And guess what? AI is going to be an important part of that. And you know, data sharing and you know, data interoperability, data sovereignty, those kinds of things that need to be addressed so that people feel comfortable in sharing data and understand how their data is being used. Because at the end of the day, AI needs big data sets to be more effective. And so again, that's part of this thing where everybody needs to come together to solve some of these challenges. Nobody's going to solve this on their own. I don't care how big of a company you are.
Right. Exactly. Well, thank you so much for all the work you're doing. And, you know, it's really, it's been great to sort of get some of your insights today. Really appreciate your time today. And
thank you.
In the future.
We hope you enjoyed this episode featuring our conversation with Scott May. Be sure to look out for our next episode coming out soon, where we will continue this conversation. Until then, be sure to get some healthy mushrooms into your diet. Also, please take a moment to like and subscribe to our channel and to drop us any comments. Your feedback is most welcome. Thanks for listening.